Alrighty, guys, what is going on? This is another episode of Walking with Pete, where I'm inside because today the weather is not so nice. We kind of just jetted down to the shops and got, I think Kel bought a bacon and cheese roll that Noah ended up stealing the majority of. So he was just like doing his standard little, you know, me. And then all of a sudden, there was none left. But we got some coffee. There's a really nice cafe that we go to in Barwon Heads. If you guys end up coming down to the Ballerine Peninsula here in Victoria, Australia, and you come to Barwon Heads, there is a cafe called Starfish Cafe. It tends to be open, I think, from, Wednesdays until Sundays. I think it might be closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, but we tend to go there and they have amazing food, really good bang for your buck, right? So, bang for your buck, good expression there for worth your money, right? So, you get a lot of bang for your buck, a dollar. So, you get a lot of value for your money. So, I went down there, got some coffees. Geez, it was packed. There was chock-a-block full of people. There were loads of people there. There was a huge line. People were eating outside. They were eating inside. Everyone had their masks on, I guess, unless they were eating. Lots of dogs as well. There tend to be a lot of dog owners who come to the cafe with their dogs on a leash. Noah almost got into a bit of trouble where he smacked a dog on the bum and the dog had a bit of a go at him. It wasn't too impressed. Luckily, it was a small dog. But yeah, it's been a good day. And I guess I wanted to make this episode today, guys, to tell you about how to get a job in Australia. And obviously, this doesn't necessarily apply to all jobs and all possible ways that you can get hired, but I wanted to tell you a bit about my news recently getting a job at a local distillery, and I wanted to tell you how I went about doing it. And maybe, hopefully, you can take some ideas from this, whether you're in Australia, whether you're elsewhere in the world, you know, it could be in America, it could be in your home country, and if you have the luxury to do what I did, give it a go, and maybe it'll work. So, obviously, as you guys know, recently I went down the rabbit hole of getting into whiskey. You know, I haven't really shut up about it for the last month or two, but I've become really, really fascinated by it, really interested in it, how it's made, you know, the different tastes, the different styles, the process, the kinds of machinery that's used, the kinds of products that are used, how it's aged, everything like that. So, when sort of going down that rabbit hole of learning about all these things online, I remembered that the distillery, the local distillery, the Bellarine Distillery in, I believe it's between the towns Drysdale and Port Arlington on the Bellarine Peninsula, obviously, so near my hometown of Ocean Grove, we got married there. So, we can probably recap that story as well, and then I can tell you how I got offered a job yesterday there. So, Kel and I got married in 2000 and far out. Now my memory's a bit short. 2018 in November. And we were trying to do it on the cheap. We were going a bit El Cheapo, we call it in Australian English, trying to save a lot of money and, you know, put it towards other things, bigger and better things than just a big wedding. Partly because Kel's family is over in Brazil and it was very unlikely that they were going to fly over to Australia. And vice versa, it would have just cost, you know, a fortune to do so for either side of the family. So, that was sort of not going to happen. So, we were looking for how to do it on the cheap and we ended up finding a celebrant online that was, I think it only cost $400 to pay him to marry us. So, it's kind of like, I guess it'd be like the equivalent of a priest or something if you were at the Catholic Church and getting married. We're obviously not that religious at all. And so, we got a celebrant to do our wedding. So, you have to be like recognized legally in order to marry people. And we found him online and it so happened, it ended up being the case that he would come down to the Bellarine Distillery once a month to learn how to make gin. So, the weird thing was this guy was loaded. You know, he was really rich. His name was Wayne and he was an ex-surgeon and his wife was also an oncologist or something. And so, I don't know how they ended up marrying people or he ended up doing that, but he just liked doing it, I guess, you know, didn't need the money and was wanting to learn how to make gin so that he could open his own gin distillery in Melbourne. And so, he was coming down to the Bellarine Distillery on, you know, one weekend a month to learn the process, learn how to do it, the equipment, everything like that. And when we were talking to him, he kind of interviewed us about how we wanted the wedding to be, you know, what we had in mind. And we were just saying, oh, we're going to look for a, you know, a venue down the Great Ocean Road or in the Bellarine Peninsula, somewhere near the ocean. And he was like, well, I go to the Bellarine Distillery. It's really nice. I can talk to the owner and you can probably get married there. He probably won't even charge you. You know, you can just get married there and it'll be fine. So, he ended up talking to the owner, Russ, and then said to us, yeah, it's fine. Let's go down and check the place out. We went and checked the place out, thought it was beautiful, and ended up getting married there. So, you know, Russ was really kind and said, you guys can get married here. We're just not going to close the place down. You know, it's free, but we want other people to come in, obviously, to keep buying cocktails and food and pizzas and whatever else. And we were like, oh, no problem at all. And the wedding that we had was really small. I think we had like 17 people there, you know, just some closest friends and family. And yeah, it was a good day. So that's how we got introduced to the Bellarine Distillery, or the place called the Whiskery, where you can go the restaurant and the cocktail bar and everything. So it's called the Whiskery. All right. A play on the word whiskey and whiskers, like a mustache. And if you look it up online, you'll see why. Russ has a very big ass mustache. It's huge. So yeah, I didn't really think about the place for another year or so. And it's going to be our 2-year anniversary in a couple of weeks. So we thought, you know, we might go down there again, get a photo under this tree. There was this beautiful tree that was blossoming in November with these beautiful purple flowers that were all over the ground. So we got married underneath that tree with all those flowers on the ground. And so Kel and I wanted to go down there again. And more recently, I'd been driving past the place again and again and again. So I'd kind of been going out several times a week, driving from Ocean Grove here to a place called Port Arlington on the inside of Port Phillip Bay. So it's kind of looking towards Melbourne, Port Arlington. And I would just chill out there and do some work in the car. You know, I'd have my computer, I'd have some books I need to read, or I'd be, you know, writing some notes. And it was just a nice place to sort of drive over to. Whilst I was driving, I could listen to a podcast, you know, maybe have a Pepsi in the car or a little snack or something. Just get out of the house, relax, and then come back afterwards. And when on the way back, I would drive past the Whiskery. And so I kept thinking, you know, maybe I should just go in there and ask, is it okay for me to volunteer here my time, you know, once a week, twice a week, something, so that I can just learn how the process works, you know, because I'm really interested in how whiskey's made. I would love to get my hands dirty, you know, or I'd like to actually do the work myself and use my hands themselves to create some whiskey. And so I finally bit the bullet. I finally decided, you know what, I need to do it, probably after, you know, my 20th time passing the place. And so I went in and just asked one of the people working there, you know, do you mind if I talk to the owner, Russ? He wasn't there, but the guy took me out to the head distiller, Craig, and we ended up talking for probably an hour and a half just about, you know, whiskey, gin, why I was interested in it, the kinds of whiskeys I was interested in, the history of the Bellarine Distillery and the Whiskery, everything like that, how Craig got started. I also met Fraser, shout out to him. He was also working there, a younger guy, doing all the bottling and everything. And so, you sort of got to see the inner workings of how a distillery like that, a sort of craft distillery, a small distillery, is run. And so, I was asking, you know, do you mind if I just volunteer? So, my plan was, effectively, I didn't have any job in mind at the time. Like, it just started with, I'm just going to offer, you know, my labor for free in exchange for knowledge. So, you know, can I just volunteer here? You just tell me what you need, what I can do, how I can learn and help you guys out. And in exchange, I can learn about the process of making whiskey. And then when I first had that meeting with Craig and I was chatting with him, he was like, there's actually the opportunity to have more work here because we're expanding and we need more people to do some of the tasks here, you know, the bottling and help with the whiskey making and the gin making and everything like that. They're planning on, you know, expanding the shed and upgrading the equipment in the next few years. And so, the place is going to get bigger and bigger. And then, the idea occurred to me, obviously, then, yeah, well, maybe even though I'm doing the podcasting stuff, you know, Aussie English, this is my primary source of income and my interest and my, you know, hobby, my passion, my what do you call it? Yeah, my love, right? I absolutely love Aussie English. But recently, I have outsourced a bunch of the work to Kate and Francis. These are my two workers from the Philippines who are doing a phenomenal job on the videos, on all the social media posts that you guys are seeing. Kate is like my right-hand man or right-hand woman now. She is my virtual assistant who helps me with all of the uploading and scheduling and everything like that. And as a result of this, it's kind of freed up a lot of time, you know, for me. And so, I spend a lot of it with my family, but I was also sort of wanting a reason to get out of the house. You know, it's one of those things where it's always nice to get out of the house and, you know, kind of refresh and then come back into the house and be in a good mood and you know, recharged. So, once I had that discussion with Craig and realized, you know, there's the potential for me to at least earn a little bit of money whilst also learning about the process and being involved in such a great business. You know, all the people that work there are absolutely awesome, and it's a small sort of family-run business, so it's just a great place to kind of work. It made me think, you know what, this would be great if I end up getting 1 or 2 days of work here. I think they said, you know, there's the potential for you to work full-time here if that ever fit in, because they're going to need people to do that anyway in the future. So, who knows what could end up happening? But I guess the main point of this story and telling you this is that when I was chatting to Craig, he said that he had a lot of people, you know, emailing him about a job there, or they would come in and sort of ask if there was a job, but they would never follow it up, and they would expect to, you know, get the job and get hired and be paid straight off the bat, effectively. And so, you know, my thoughts here were that if you guys are in a position to be able to, quote unquote, volunteer, or I guess think of it like an internship at wherever it is that you want to work, that's kind of an offer that if you can make that to any kind of business, it's very difficult for them to refuse. So, you know, when I walked into the distillery and I said, I'm happy to work for free, you know, a day a week or something, or even, you know, maybe you guys, if you were in a similar situation, could say, I'll work for free for a month or 2 weeks or, you know, 2 months or, you know, 1 day a week, 5 days a week, whatever it is. It's very difficult for someone to really say, nah, not interested. You know, a free pair of hands doing work for someone, particularly when untrained, you know, is a pretty valuable thing when they can train you up for free effectively. And then at the end of it, whatever the job is that you're doing, they're probably going to be making money and, you know, working better with the help that you're giving. And so, we'll probably try and find a reason to keep you working there. So, that was something that I wanted to talk about, you know, pique your interest in this topic and have you think about if you are in Australia and you are looking for a job, especially if you are in a situation where you can offer a day, a week, a fortnight, whatever it is, whatever amount of time it is, you can work for free initially, definitely give a go of offering that to wherever it is that you want to work, if it makes sense, right? Think of it like an internship, because at the end of the day, like an internship, even if you don't get a job at that place, you end up getting skills that you can put on your resume and you can then use to apply for the next job, right? And I'm sure lots of you guys are listening to this saying, you know, no da, of course, you know, this is what we always do. But there are plenty of people, like me included, where my career in the past didn't really have that kind of internship kind of thing inbuilt into it and as obvious as a lot of other places, you know, like if you were, I don't know, a journalist or something. So, yeah, that's sort of my story recently, guys, that I wanted to share with you. And so, I just wanted you to think about that. If you're looking for a job soon, especially if it's something you're passionate about and you want to upskill, you want to improve your skills, especially at the moment with COVID, right? And the fact that a lot of places probably can't afford to hire people, you know, at a substantial wage, if with a wage at all, that might be an extra card up your sleeve. If you're in a position to offer your work for free initially so that you can get some skills, that might be something worth trying or at least worth offering. The other tip here that I got as well from Craig, or at least that he said was a big plus, go there. You know, go there and talk to the people who run the place. Also, do your research. Learn about the place. Learn about their specific products. Learn about what it is that you are hoping to do there. Learn about the process. So, before I'd even walked in there, I had been studying how whiskey was made, what a still was, how it functioned. I learned a bit about gin, what gin is, how it's made, so that when I went in, I could show, you know, I'm not just here saying, I'll work for free, give me something to do, give me a job, and I'll learn everything from scratch, and I expect you to teach me everything. It was more, I'm already learning about this stuff. I'm really passionate about this stuff. I also know about your business. I also have a passion for your business. You know, I'm interested in it. And as a result, again, it's just very hard for people to say, no, not interested, when the offer is that good, okay? So, those would be my sort of tips. Can you volunteer somewhere that you're interested in potentially having a career? Learn about that place and learn about the thing it is that you are wanting to do, you know? Show the people that you are very passionate about it. And even if they say no the first time, obviously, don't be annoying, don't be belligerent, don't irritate them, but keep asking. You know, this was something that I recently got from Juliana Gomez on the podcast when I talked to her, the real estate agent. She'd sold something like $9 million worth of properties, or maybe it was $90 million. I can't remember. It was a lot. But she was saying that she just kept going in week after week asking for a job, you know, and just saying, hey, it's me again. I'm really keen. I'm really passionate. Please, do you have any work? I would love to work for you. So, think about that as well, okay? Anyway, that's probably enough. That's a bit of a ramble. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Walking with Pete, guys. I would love to know what you think. So, you know, if you've had these sorts of experiences or you've got some tips as well that you want to share, feel free to comment on any of the Instagram posts or on Facebook where you see this clip. And also, feel free to send me an email and let me know your story. I love reading your emails, guys. And you can do that at pete@aussieenglish.com.au. Anyway, it's a pleasure, guys, and I will chat to you soon. See ya.